Christian life, the life that you and I have the privilege of living. In 1 John 2 and verse 12, it says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. For your sins are forgiven you. We have the life of being forgiven. The Bible very clearly teaches that there is forgiveness with God. The Bible very clearly teaches that God is a God who forgives. He is a God of forgiveness that gives hope to man. Because for all have sinned. What sinners need is forgiveness. And God is a God of forgiveness, and there is forgiveness with God. So that gives sinners hope. Notice in Exodus chapter 34, Exodus 34, and verse 7, talking about God, it says, He keeps mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. There is forgiveness, but God forgives in His way. You cannot bypass God and be cleared. It's not possible. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. It's God's business to forgive. It's God's business to visit iniquity for generations to come. It's God's prerogative. We have no right to complain what God does. But He is a God of forgiveness. In Psalm 130 and verse 4, Psalm 130 and verse 4, but there is forgiveness. Well, in verse 3 it says, if thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? If God were to mark every sin that we commit, none of us could stand. But then verse 4, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared or reverenced. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 9, Daniel 9, verse 9. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. In other words, in spite of our rebellion, God is merciful. God is forgiving. And every saved individual has been forgiven. And the forgiveness of sin is full. It's full. When the Lord saved me, forgave me of every sin that ever commit or ever would commit. Now we still have to pray and confess and be forgiven for fellowship's sake. Restorative forgiveness. But God's forgiveness is full, extending to all sin, including all sin, however enormous those sins might be, however innumerable those sins might be. In Psalm 103, in verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. He forgives all thine iniquities. Isaiah 55 and verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he, the Lord, will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He will abundantly pardon. So there is forgiveness with God. There is pardon with God. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 8. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity. Again, you get the idea. This is full forgiveness. God does not partially forgive. You're either forgiven or you're not. Full forgiveness. Whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. So there is forgiveness with God. God is a God of forgiveness. This forgiveness is full. This forgiveness is also free. It is free. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Grace means it's free. We are forgiven according to the riches of his grace. You can't put a limit upon the riches of his grace. That's unlimited. And we are forgiven in accord with the riches of his grace. So forgiveness is full. Forgiveness is free. Forgiveness also is everlasting and irreversible. God does not go back and then unforgive you. It's irreversible. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. It's everlasting. It's irreversible. Now, we've spoken on this in the past. People will say, if you forgive somebody, that means you forget about it. You don't remember it. You've wiped it from your mind. You're not God. Man cannot do that. I believe when we forgive somebody, it means that if we forgive them, we forget it in the sense that we never bring it up again. You do not bring it up to them. You do not constantly remind them. That's forgetfulness on our part. But when God forgives sins, he forgets. He remembers them no more. A God who knows everything, omniscient God, forgets my sin. That's a mystery. But that's what forgiveness is. So every saved individual has been blessed with forgiveness. And the child of God should know with full assurance that their sins have been forgiven. And if we know that with full assurance, that should also show forth in our life. that should show forth in the life that we live, that I have been forgiven by God. So let's look at what it means to be forgiven. First of all, forgiveness requires an atonement. It requires atonement. This goes back to the very clear teachings under the ceremonial law in the Old Testament. Again, the writer of Hebrews, there is no redemption without shedding of blood. So if you and I are forgiven, it's because someone, that being Jesus Christ, made atonement for us. So if there's forgiveness, there has to be atonement. Notice in Leviticus chapter 4, Leviticus chapter 4, verse 20. Just notice the phrase toward the end of the verse. The priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. Notice the connection. Atonement, forgiveness. Now notice verse 26 of the same chapter. Again, the latter part of the verse. The priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. Again, atonement, forgiveness. Verse 31. Again, latter part of the verse. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Verse 35. Again, the latter part of the verse. The priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him. You go over to chapter 5 and verse 10. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the manner, and the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin which he hath sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. And on you can go. But you get the idea. God says it over and over and over again. There is atonement, and then there is forgiveness. There is no forgiveness with God outside of atonement. You cannot have your good works, so-called, because your good works are as filthy rags in the eyes of God. Your good works in no way outweigh your bad works, and therefore you're forgiven of the bad, and the bad are wiped clean. There is no forgiveness outside of atonement. So God is, he's the forgiver. He is the one that provides the atonement. And what is atonement? It's simply restitution for a wrong. God has provided the restitution for a wrong. Part of confession, part of an apology, again, for you and I just to say, I'm sorry, that's not necessarily enough. What can I do to make it right? I'm talking about between you and I, apologies. There has to be an offer of restitution. Well, we can't offer that to God because we have nothing to present to God. So God makes restitution for the wrong that we have done. That's the atonement. And because God has made restitution, we can have forgiveness. Now, the atonement, of course, is substitutionary. What Jesus did on the cross was an act of a substitute. It was in place of us. It was in our stead. Isaiah 53 verse 5 makes that clear. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. So it's sacrificial. Notice in the book of Galatians chapter 3. Book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, or in our stead. That's substitution. And what a substitute does for the person whose place he fills, absolves that person from the need of suffering the same thing. So you and I are forgiven. And the forgiven, since there is no forgiveness outside of atonement, are not then the forgiven, the recipients of a substitutionary atonement. So you and I, as children of God, are the recipients of a substitutionary work. We are the recipients of what Christ did on the cross. That should make a difference in our life. That should make a manifest difference in our life. Atonement is a sacrificial work. Again, all through the Old Testament, ceremonial law, particularly the book of Leviticus, we see sacrifices. But as Hebrews tells us, all the blood of those sacrifices, if you could combine it all, could not wash away one sin. Nor was it intended to wash away one single sin. It was intended to serve as a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ, which does wash away sin. It is a picture of the sacrifice of God. Notice in Ephesians 5, in verse 2, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and given himself for us," that substitution, an offering, and a sacrifice. He offered himself for us to God. He sacrificed himself for us to God. So we are the recipients of an offering. We are the recipients of the offering. The offering, of course, being Jesus Christ. There is no forgiveness without atonement. Atonement is a ransoming work. It is to be ransomed. In Matthew 20 and verse 28, Jesus said, "I come to give my life a ransom." He is our ransom. Now, a ransom is a price paid for the release of someone or something from captivity. And I want to say that everyone whom Jesus ransomed, paid a ransom price for, every one of them must be forgiven. Every one of them must be set free from captivity, because the ransom price of Christ was perfect. And did he not know exactly who he was paying the ransom price for? Yes, he did. But that's another lesson. But we are the recipients. If we're forgiven, that means we are the recipients of a ransom price that has been paid. In other words, the forgiven are bought with a price. And that should show forth in our life. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and verse 20. We read the same thing in 1 Corinthians 3. I believe 1 Corinthians 3 is referring to the church being bought with a price, because that's the context, the church. Here in 1 Corinthians 6, the context is individuals, you and I, and we are bought with a price. Verse 19, what? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For or because. In other words, here's the reason that you are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. You and I are forgiven. There is no forgiveness without atonement. There is no forgiveness without that ransom price being paid, which is the atonement. Therefore, we're not our own. And the practical result of that is that we ought to glorify God with what is His. And that is our body and our spirit, and they are God's. So 1 John 2 and verse 12 tells us that we are forgiven. And that ought to show forth in the life that you and I live. We'll continue next week looking at this subject of forgiveness. But you and I, the life that we live is a life of a forgiven individual. What a privilege, what a blessing to live such a life. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father,